not zombie. Praise God, come all blessings flow. Praise Him, glory to hear me low. Praise Him, glory to me low. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to meet here this morning, sing songs of praise, and listen from Your good book, the Bible. Thank You for every blessing this week. Be with us as we go through this service, may everything we do be in accordance with Thy will. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
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 Birthdays. You got his birthday.
You got to have birthday.
I don't have a dollar.
Your birthday. Okay, let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Announcements. David, you got anything? Who else? Charlie?
Tom Smith passed away, I think, on Monday, and he wasn't on our prayer list today.
He passed away yesterday.
Okay.
If nobody else had anything, I wanted to give you another little update on Brother Lee. Of course, we all know that next Tuesday he'll be in the hospital for 6 weeks. And we visited with him yesterday for a little while. We didn't stay very long. He was still in the same position. He's not doing any communicating whatsoever. And this morning I got a text that I'm just going to read it to you. And it says, his breathing seems to be a bit more shallow today, but lungs clear and heart sounds strong. I told him it's Tom's birthday today. When I got ready to leave yesterday, I told him I was leaving and that I would be back. And I told him I love you. He moved his eyebrow just a little, and he may have done that if I hadn't said that. That was all the response that I heard. But anyway, like I said, it's been 6 weeks. We've had to fill in people to help secure church for those weeks. And today we've got Scott. He's from Bethel Christian Church, and he's got his family with him. With him, and he's got some friends with him.
Amen.
We want to thank Scott and his family for being here, and we just thank the Lord that he sent you to us.
Thank you, sir.
Being in Psalm 4:36, I gave my life to thee. That's what Jesus done for all of us.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for every day that we're able to come and be here in this church. We realize that our church is going through some different times than we've ever experienced, but we hope and pray that You stay with us and help us to find the right solution for this problem. And Lord, we realize that we're put here on this earth for a very short time, and we realize that we live by Your word and do as You instructs us in the Bible, that we have a chance for forgiveness of sin and to be able to have eternal life. And we just thank You for providing that for us, and we realize it took Your only begotten Son for us to have that opportunity. We pray for these emblems each Sunday to help us remind us of that, of the blood and body that was shed for us to have that opportunity. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Again, thank you for this glorious day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you have provided with. We also ask that you please be with Brother Lee and his family during this time. We ask that you bless this gift and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
495, Jesus saved, first and last. For I am praying to you. This first verse. Let's do this.
Lord, thank you once again for this beautiful day you've given us. We come to you first and foremost, dear Lord, giving you all the praise, all the glory, dear Lord, for all things that you provide for us. I ask that you forgive us, dear Lord, when we failed to stop and take a look around, dear Lord, and see those blessings that you've laid at our feet. I ask that you allow the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, to indwell this house this morning, dear Lord, your house. Allow your word to be spoken, dear Lord. Allow ears and hearts and minds to be open, dear Lord, to take those words in and take them out into the world, dear Lord. That is our job. I ask the blessing and continued prayers, dear Lord, for Brother Lee as he continues in the hospital. I ask that you wrap a loving and caring arm around this congregation, dear Lord. Coming at this time, dear Lord, telling you thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, dear Lord, to once again speak in your house. Speak of you, dear Lord. Speak of the truth. As always, we tell you thank you for the many blessings you continue to bestow upon each and every one of us. And ask for your continued guidance and healing power. We pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
There's a light in the window, and the table spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. I can see a crystal river. I must be near forever. And I've never been this homesick before. See the bright light shine, it's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. This old world's been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. I can see the family gather, sweet faces, they're all familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, this lonesome heart is crying, think I'll spread my wings for flying. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. See the bright light shine, well, that's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. This old world's been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. See the bright light shine, it's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. This old world's been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Amen. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, good morning. First and foremost, I know most, but for those of you who do not know me, my name is Scott Bokris. I serve in God's grace at this point in time in my life. It is an elder at Bethel Christian Church. My family and I have been there about 9 years. Raised at Nicholsville Christian Church. Went to church with Charlene and them as kids. Had a mother who kept me in church most of my life. Got away as we got a little older. Kind of fell by the wayside. Met my wife, Kelly, who told me that church was going to be a part of our life. And God has blessed us, you know, that much thus far. I've been doing, my father passed away about 3 years ago, or 3 weeks, 3 months ago. And at that time, I'd always done Sunday school, men's group. Fill in here and there, done some Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. Never really felt a calling as far as preaching. Always been a teacher, never been a preacher. There's a little difference. Wife always told me, well, you can do it. Well, you know what? It's not about me doing it. It's about the good Lord doing it. And after my father passed away about 3 months ago, there was a strange calling that said, okay, I've gotten you ready. It's time to go out and let's do this. So, I appreciate the opportunity that you all have given me. I'm sorry that it's under these circumstances. Brother Lee, not that I've known him personally, I do. His mission, what he has done, especially here at Little Hickman, in the community in Jessamine County, you know, born and raised here, so you hear, you know who's doing what and how they're doing it. And you know, of course, Brother Lee did it the right way. He did it God's way. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. So, got in touch with Jane Burton, called me. Steve Burton's one of my good friends, grew up with him. Maxine Mulkey, I guess, had contacted Jane about you all needing somebody to fill in. Called David, left him a message, talked about him on the way home a Friday night after work. Started going over my beliefs, what we believe in. The undeniable Word of God, saved by the blood, saved by grace. And David's going, yes, 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 yes. That's what, you know. So if you're all, you know, if I went to a church and my beliefs didn't match up with theirs, then I would not allow myself and God's ability to go into that church. Because it's got to line up. We've got to be all believe the same way. Which I think is what it is. We're all saved by grace. We're all saved by the blood. And that's my true belief. And this is the undeniable, unfallible Word of God. And that's kind of where my message came from when I agreed to do this with David a couple weeks ago. The good Lord told me, He said, I need you to preach Isaiah 42. Which is weird because a lot of people know Isaiah 53, which talks about by His stripes we are healed. All of these are from the prophet Isaiah who lead up. It's talking about the coming Christ. It's talking about the Messiah. He's telling the Israelites and the people, The Messiah is coming. Now you have to understand that Isaiah, especially chapter 42, which I wasn't even really familiar with until I started looking at it, was written 500 to 700 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that goes back to the truth. If this was written 700 years ago, how could this match up to the New Testament? Infallible. There is nothing that you could read in here in the New Testament that does not coincide with the Old Testament. This book here, yes, it's our Bible. Yes, it's Old Testament, New Testament. But this Bible here, our Bible, is the book of Jesus Christ. The whole thing from beginning to end is our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think you have to understand it to fully understand what the Word of God tells you. You have to understand it's not the old ways, new ways. You have to understand that the old ways made the new ways. That the old ways set us up. What the Israelites and what the Jews didn't understand, that back when God was making them do all these sacrifices and all these things, that was preparing them for the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The one true Lamb of God. The Passover service that they have. Jesus Christ. The death passes over. That's what we have now as Christians when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Death passes us over. Christians will never taste of death. Yes, the mortal body may die. It may go away. But as soon as we're passed away, we're taking our first breath in heaven. That's amazing. So we have to understand, not Old Testament, New Testament, we have to understand God's Word. It is true. So Isaiah 42 is long, but I really wanted to read it to kind of let you know so we can examine how truth is old and new. So it starts out in 42. It says, "Behold my servant who I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentile." So again, you have to understand when this was written. When this was written with the Israelites and the Jewish people, the Gentiles were nothing. We were nothing. We weren't God's people. We were just the normal people. Not until our Lord Jesus Christ came about did the Gentiles even have a face with God. The Jews didn't believe it. They were God's people. Everybody else was kind of inconsequential. And this is telling us 700 years before our Lord Jesus Christ is even born. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. This speaks of God's unyielding and his easiness. Anybody who has a chance, he's not going to throw them away. A bruised reed he's not going to get rid of just because it's bruised. Thank God for that, because a lot of us are bruised every day. A lot of us were bruised. A lot of us were bent. A lot of us were a smoking flax before we accepted our Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we ought to be thankful that He's not going to throw you away just because you're not what you think you ought to be. Because we are never going to be good enough for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for Him, because when the judgment day comes, He's the one that's going to stand in between. He's the one that's going to pay that price for us. If we were to stand right now, wouldn't none of us? I don't care how long you've been saved, how long, if sin can't go into heaven. Jesus Christ had to pay for that. And it tells us right here, when you will never be good enough. He will not fail. He will not be discouraged. When Jesus Christ first came and He started doing His preaching, they hated Him from day one. King Herod tried to kill Him before He was 2 years old. They escaped into Egypt. So from the birth of Jesus Christ, that's why the Magi even came, because they were trying to get Him, find out where this king was so I can go worship Him. He didn't want to worship Him. He wanted to kill Him to get Him out of there, because this was supposed to be the supposed king of Jews. So from His very first breath, Jesus Christ was trying to be killed. He was trying to be discouraged. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, when He was preaching in the temple, blasphemy. You can't do this. You can't. He was speaking the true word of God. He was speaking about himself. And they didn't see that. But he would not be discouraged. Thus saith God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth, that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you into righteousness, and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people. Again, old covenant, new covenant. Back before Jesus Christ came to us, to the world, couldn't none of us walk in this. I mean, you could walk in this church. So we'll pretend this is the temple. You couldn't get to this point. Only I could get up here. Only the high priest could get to this point where the Holy of Holies was. And that was only once a year. Once a year. You come, you give your offerings to me, I will take the blood, I will go to the Holy of Holies and at the mercy seat of God. And I, after begging for forgiveness for my sins, because all of us are not sin free. Again, thank the good Lord that Jesus Christ came to pay the price for us. But after I begged for my sins, then I could take your offerings, go back there, and beg for forgiveness for your all sins. When Jesus Christ came and Jesus Christ died on that cross, that was the ultimate sacrifice. That blood that stretched out for the entire world. It was God's will that none of us should perish, but everyone on the face of this earth would have eternal life. Before that, it was not that. It was Jews, everybody else. The Jewish people were the only ones who were going to get into the heavens. Jesus Christ gave us that hope. Jesus Christ gave us that ability. And that was all planned way back in Genesis. When God planned the world, He had already had this out because we were going to need a Savior because we as people weren't good enough. He gave us the Garden of Eden. Perfect. No sweat. Didn't have to really work. God even told us, hey, name these animals. Name them what you want. We'll call them that. Temperature was always right. It wasn't too hot. Kentucky summer. Wasn't too cold. Kentucky ice storms. Not too much water. Kentucky floods, which you all experienced not too long ago. It was perfect. Just one rule. One simple rule. Do not eat of the tree. And what did we do? We ate of the tree. So God, even before He made the Garden of Eden, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit as one, sitting up here, you know what? We're going to make this, but we know what's going to happen. That's why in Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus Christ came, God is telling Isaiah, I need you to start preparing these people. I need you to start telling them, hey, I've got somebody coming who's going to save you. Because up until that point, we were bound for hell. Because no sin could enter into heaven. None. Zero. It says to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. To open blind eyes. They tried it with the Jewish people, the Israelites, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. They tried to open those blind eyes. But they were veiled. They were shielded. But I think that's God already knew that. That's the way it was going to happen. He went to the Israelites to preach the gospel of the Messiah. But they were expecting some big king to come and to be able to overthrow the Romans and take control of the world, because that's what we need to be. As Jewish people, we need to be strong. We got to have the world and take it by the tail. That's not what it was. Jesus Christ came as a lowly Messiah, an easy Messiah. Now look at what He did. It's amazing. The miracles He performed. The lessons He taught us, that's still going on today. And we're talking thousands of years later. But we all know, if you study your Bible, and what I call the true, what we all call the true Word of God. We know how this plays out. We know what happens. He came as a meek and humble individual to start with. Not next time. Next time when he comes back, he's going to be on a white horse. He's going to have an army. He's going to be coming back to finish what was started in the Garden of Eden. New heaven, new earth. And Lord, that will be amazing. That will be awesome. So you have to, each time you look in your Bible, each time you read the Bible, understand what you're reading is true. It's not your favorite romance novel. It's not your favorite movie on TV. This is the true, accurate Word of God. I dare anybody to try to find an inaccuracy in it. As science continues to try to disprove this, they continue to prove it. The more they try. It continues on in Isaiah. It says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will give to no other, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things here have come to pass. And new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. 500 to 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was even, you know, came to the manger in Bethlehem. The prophet Isaiah had been given the word from God. Get ready, people. Your Messiah is coming. Your Savior is coming. And we know the story, you know, and to you unto this day born in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's when the shepherds come. We all know the Christmas story. We know how that plays out. We know how he goes into Egypt at about 2 years old and stays there until things are better for him to come in. But again, that was a prophecy. Because out of Egypt I will call my son is in the Bible. Again, truth. We have to understand in the world that we live in that truth, for the most part, doesn't exist. That truth, or if it does exist, that the truth is altered, the truth is askewed, depending on what news station you watch or what speaker you have or what goes on, there is no real truth. But see, I beg to differ because there is a real truth. There is our Bible. And us as Christians have to understand that and do what Jesus Christ proclaimed us to do, to go out, disciple to people, talk about that. Anytime I get a chance to stand behind pulpit or stand up and talk about the glory and the praise of God, I do it. Now, granted, I like to talk, so that's not a big deal. My wife will tell you that. She lost me in Walmart the other day for 10 minutes. And she goes, who was that? And I was like, I don't know. I just said good morning to a guy in the Coke aisle. And for 10 minutes, we sat there and talked about his family and how he had come up. But you know what the awesome thing about that is? Before he left, we started talking about God. It just popped up. He brought it up. I didn't. But I made that first effort to say good morning. Good morning. And that's what us as Christian people have to do. Jesus Christ told us to do that. Go out. Make disciples of the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He didn't say just go out and hang out. Yeah, I've got you saved. Just live your life. Just do what you want. Just hang out. That's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to grow that kingdom while we're here. He wants it to be a big kingdom. Wouldn't you all love to have all the people we grew up, Christy? All the people we grew up with? All the people that we know? I mean, I look back over this audience and these are people that have been surrounding me for 50 years. And I can look at each and every one of you all and I'm pretty sure, just looking at you, I know that through eternity, we're all going to be together. We've all been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's pretty awesome. I hate to think when I look around, maybe some of the places I work or some of the places I go in, the cool guy I talked to at the store or whatever, was he truly saved? Now God says, you will be known. But if somebody's not there, I don't think we'll know, because it's all about glory and worshiping Him. But I think it would be awesome. I know my dad who passed away 3 months ago, I know where he's going to be, and that'll be an awesome reunion. My brother who passed away 20-something years ago, awesome reunion. My papa, my grandmother, my great-grandmother. And you all can say the same thing. All the people who went before you, God has given us that gift, an everlasting gift of heaven. Truth, it tells us in the Bible, truth. I quoted this earlier, but 2 Peter 3:9 said, it is God's will that none should perish. None. That's His will. He didn't start in the Garden of Eden and say, well, I'll pick two from over here and two from over here and maybe this guy coming. No, that's not what He said. He said, it is His will that none should perish. That's a pretty big will. You know, he developed the Garden of Eden knowing it was going to fail. He made a plan from the Garden of Eden to give us Jesus Christ. So, even with that, He was making a plan that none should perish. That we all should be saved and living in eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Problem is, we're people. We have free will. And that's where we get in trouble. We were given grace. Grace is a gift from God. A free gift. All you have to do is take it. Tell Jesus Christ, yes, I am a sinner. I know that You saved this world, and I'm coming to You, Lord, asking You, please, save me. Simple as that. Our problem is, as people, it's so easy that many don't do it. So again, if it is said, none should perish, we know what God's eternal plan is. Now, it goes on, so we're talking about the truth. So we've talked in Isaiah, where he's talking about the coming Messiah. We know that the good Lord went to the cross and paid for our sins, was crucified 3 days later, rose, spent time with the disciples for 40 days. The Holy Spirit came upon them, allowing them to speak the languages that needed to be spoke to broadcast His message to the world. Because if I came and spoke to, with my country accent, spoke to somebody in Canada, nothing against Canada, but it may come across differently, or somebody who spoke French or Chinese or whatever, it would come across differently. But that Holy Spirit indwelled these people and allowed them to get the message out. And I at this point in time, I guess I'm grateful and I feel great that the good Lord is allowing me to be a part of that process. The problem is, it should have been me all along. I should have never sat in the pew and just kind of hung out and whatever. Every chance I got, I should have been proclaiming God, our Lord Jesus Christ, to everybody. On the football field as kids or as an adult, any place we can go. But we've read the book. We know there's going to be problems. So at this point, I'd like to go talking of truth to what is coming. This is from 2 Timothy. Again, we're speaking of truth. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Check. Lovers of money. Check. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Check, check, check. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Oh. So we just talked about Isaiah and the coming Messiah. It came true. So 2 Peter's telling us in the end times, he's giving us little hints of the end times. What's going to happen? It's happening around us, people. It's happening around us. You can't go anywhere. Well, I can't say that. I'm surrounded in a church right now where things are good. We're protected, I think, inside of God's house. But as soon as, 12 o'clock rolls around and you take one step out the door, you're surrounded in the world again. And we can see what's happening with the world. We can see, not that I'm going to make this into a political view or whatever, but I'll make this into God's view. We're not living God's world right now with everything that's going on. We're living as in the days of Sodom, Gomorrah, the days of Noah. And God made Noah build the ark, which in that turn, at that time, again, it's a preface, was a Messiah at that time. It was a symbolism to what Jesus Christ would do for the world. And God closed the door on that one. Everybody else outside, because it had gotten so nasty. This world should be full of love. This world should be full of kindness. And yes, now we all work, I work around and I've seen people who work in the industry that I work in, and I've been there, I've done that. I know about it, still continue to work in, I work for the city, so dealing with the public each day. It's not always a pleasure. It's not always fun. But you would be amazed at what some, if I just said, "Morning, Mr. Teeter, how are you doing this morning?" And that's all I would say. "Good morning, Maxine, how are you?" "Good afternoon." That's all it's got to be said. You don't have to immediately get in there and start pounding on them and tell them, "Well, God's going to do this," and God, that's not what it's about. It's about loving people. And that's what you have to understand with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's basically the same thing. You don't have to come to Him. I don't want to say on bended knee. Yes, that's good. But you should get up in the morning. "Hey, God, how are you this morning? Thank you for waking me up." Done. Driving down the road. "Hey, God. Hey, thank you for doing that. Appreciate it." I was at work the other day, and I shared this with my Wednesday night Bible study class. I'm sitting at my desk, 3 drawers on this side, 2 drawers on this side. These are file cabinet drawers, the hanging files. I've been in those drawers 1,000 times. Went there the other day, wasn't open. Not at all. And I'm looking, I'm saying, it shouldn't have been locked. It's an old desk. Shouldn't be locked. This one's working fine. So, me being the good Christian guy that I am, immediately said, "Oh, well, hey, that's nice." No. The normal human guy that I am immediately started fussing. May have cussed a little bit. I know that. But went and got a screwdriver because that was going to fix the problem. I pried on it and pried on it and pried on it. That didn't work. So I'm looking. I said, there's a little hook that kind of locks them down. You all know about it. Well, that's not even locked. I'm going, why can't this thing open? I relegate to a butter knife because it's thinner. Maybe that will get in there and make it work. So I get in there, have a buddy of mine try to pull on it while I'm jabbing the knife in there. That didn't work. And finally, I'm sitting at my desk like this. I'm like, "Good Lord, I could just use a little help." That's all I said. 2 seconds later, the drawers come open as easy as pie, like they were on silk. I started laughing, started giggling. "Hey, appreciate it." And that's my point. That's all you got to do is say, "Hey, appreciate it." You don't have to go to Him with a 10-minute prayer. You don't have to go to Him on, bending it. It should be holy and it should be reverent. But God wants that relationship with us. He wants us to be, He wants to be our Father. He wants us to love Him. God wants a relationship. The Old Testament, the old God, the old rules, that was different. This is more like we've got to be together. We've got to be on the same side. We've got to love each other. He wants you to come to Him. Anything big, desk drawers, anything small. So that is, the relationship has got to happen, especially in the end times, what we've got going on now. We as Christians have got to get the word out. We've got to let people know the time is coming. Whether it comes in my lifetime or my kids' lifetime or my grandchildren's lifetime, it's coming. I can tell you this, when I woke up this morning, we're one day closer than I was yesterday. God's going to come back on that white horse. He's going to fix the problems. No more tears, no more problems. New heaven, new earth. He's done it once with water. This time's going to be completely different. This is going to be a heaven that we all will be a part of. And all, you know what we get to do in that new heaven? We get up and get to worship God. That's our job. To get up and sing praises to Him. But that's kind of like what we should be doing now. We should be making an example. Praise God. Yes, it gets hard. Yes, it gets rough. On the days where 3 months ago when my father passed away, it was rough. But you know what I told him? Thank you, God. Praise you because I know where he's at. Thank you for walking with me. That last week that Daddy was here, I have never been so close to my God in my entire life. Always been in church. Always had a relationship. But I never really felt the closeness, that relationship, as I did. That's an alarm. Hey, that's enough. He's rambled long enough. Kick him out. But that's my point, people. We've got to have a relationship. You have a relationship with Brother Lee. That's the kind of relationship you got to have with your Lord Jesus Christ. You all are concerned about Him. You're wondering what's going on with Him. You want to know. And that's what God wants you. He wants you to share everything. Hey, God, I've had a really crappy day. I'm just not really, you know, I don't feel good today. He likes to hear that too. But you know what else He likes to hear? Hey, God, I really appreciate what You've done for me. He likes to hear the praise. Develop a relationship. Most of us in here have got children, grandchildren, husbands, wives, I mean, what have you. There's different stages within here, but that's a relationship. And we know that in many of our relationships, whether it be spousal or children, not every day is good. Not every day is the way it's supposed to be. But you still stay tight. You still talk about when you see somebody, hey, look at the picture of my new grandbaby. You know, you still tell people about it with ease. Because that matters to you. I'm just saying that God should matter that much too. Hey, have you heard about my Lord Jesus Christ? Let me tell you a little bit about Him. Hey, nice to meet you. How's it going? Just like the guy in Walmart the other day. He brought it up. I didn't. But God put us both there in the same situation at the same time. I feel God does do that. He will put people in your lives that, you know, the book's already written. So, at this point in time, so at, 11:50 on Sunday, August the 2nd, Scott Bokers is supposed to be standing behind pulpit. Mr. Jimmy Bowen's supposed to be sitting there. Christy Teeter's supposed to, it goes on. Each and every one of y'all are at this point because that's the way the story's written. All I'm saying is to get into the story. Understand the story. Let God lead you. Before I get behind pulpit, because of the prayer I'll get this afternoon, is this is what I'll tell Him. God, if this is what You want me to continue to do, which it may not, please open doors. And I will graciously and humbly walk through those doors. But if You ask that, You better be ready to do what He wants You to do. That's where I had to get right with myself and understand. If I ask and He opens the door, then my tail better go through it or I'm going to get spanked. And I don't want any more spankings from God. He's given me enough already. Still haven't learned enough of them. So I'm sure there's some more grounding and more spankings coming on. But through the love of my family and the love of my church and my love of my God and His long suffering, not giving up on a bruised reed, a smoking flax, which is what I was at one time with drugs and alcohol and stupid stuff, normal teenage and early 20, 30 junk. My God didn't give up on me. And now He's got me to a point in my life where I think I might be able to make a difference in the name of God. Which is pretty awesome. Consider most of y'all have known me like Ron, who's known me since I was 7 years old. I mean, he's going, well, as a football player, I never saw him. Expect to see him 40 years later behind a pulpit at a little country Christian church. Charlene, Glenn, I mean, I know all you all. I mean, Granny Orange, Claire. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I've been put into a place today that I don't feel like I'm talking to strangers. I feel like it's a big family reunion and, you know, old cousin Scott's got the mic again and he's just going to ramble for an hour. So, but, there's one more and then I'm going to try to wrap this up, Jimmy, and then, because I think, I just want you to understand that the truth is in the Bible. You have to look for it. Now, I'm not smart enough theologically wise. I've got little tabs up here because I can't just flip. You know, I kind of know where they are thanks to our church because Brother Bill likes us to flip a lot. So I've learned books of the Bible pretty quickly over the last few years. But I've got a card that I usually carry, and this is my sermon. It's not a sermon. It's just verses. And the good Lord leads me with this. And there's about six of these that I didn't even do today because after I started speaking, the good Lord said, well, you don't need that. I know we talked about it already, but we don't need to talk about that now. He directed where I needed to go. And I hope that what I said today helps to relegate and helps to build in that the truth of God is the truth of God. There is no lie. God, the only liar is Satan. Satan walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's been telling me all week, Scott, you're not good enough to do that. Scott, you're not smart enough to do that. You're going to get down there and make an embarrassment of yourself. If I did, I did. But I followed what God wanted me to do. If I would have cowered down, and backed out when Satan was whispering in my ear. Because that's what he likes to do. He takes those little insecurities and builds on them. Then I gave him what he wanted. The last one I want to talk about is Revelation. Revelation, it's in the very first book. Now we know that Revelation is not Revelations, it's Revelation. And basically what it is, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling of what our Lord God is truly gonna be in the end times. So it's Revelation 1, verse 8. And if you don't remember anything from what I talked about today or what the good Lord brought, remember this. I am the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning, the end, saith the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come? He told us right there. He's the beginning, Genesis. I am the end, Revelation. Beginning to end. He's told us. Isaiah started it, kind of gave us the, and all the prophets talked about it. I understand people get ready. Get the word out. I know it's not hard. I know it's not easy. It's hard. But just start talking. The good Lord will lead you. He will give you the words to say. Just remember again, the one who is, the one it was, and the one it is to be. Praise God. Thank you all.
I'm coming home 3:12. Let's start.
Again, thank you all. Praise God for the opportunity to come into your all's house this morning, His house, and preach His word. I hope a blessing came from anything that I said. If not, it was all on me, not on Him. So let us go to the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you once again for allowing me to come into your house, dear Lord, and bring your word. I ask that anything that was said, dear Lord, that didn't come from you, I ask that you forgive me for not speaking truthfully, dear Lord, and I ask that you allow the message, dear Lord, that came today to be taken out into the world. We continue to pray for Brother Lee. I ask that you put peace and comfort, dear Lord. Put your hands, be the caregiver's hands, dear Lord. Surround him with your love and your comfort, dear Lord, and welcome him home, dear Lord, when the time is right. You have that time, dear Lord, and we put our faith and hope and trust in that and in you, dear Lord. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your love, dear Lord. We also thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross so many years ago, dear Lord, to pay for the sins that we couldn't pay for. I ask for traveling mercies, dear Lord, as we depart this little country church, dear Lord. I ask that you allow us to be back in here next week, dear Lord, with a message about you once again. As always, we tell you thank you for the many blessings you continue to bestow upon each and every one of us, and ask for your continued guidance and healing powers. We pray on this in your Son's holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, our one true Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.